on our life, just real encouraging and strengthening. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pause here before you, coming to you knowing that we need you in all areas of our life. Father, we just pray for strength. We pray, Father, that you would be with us here today. We want to speak words from you. May you be honored and glorified. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to have hearts that are open to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last evening, I got a call after 9 o'clock, and I wasn't even in bed yet. And someone said that they weren't prepared to share this morning, so I called Brother Melvin this morning and agreed to share some things that I have been studying recently, actually for quite some time. Some of the things that I plan to share actually come out of a message I heard, I think, a couple of years ago, and some thoughts that I had. I actually won't be sharing too many thoughts. It's going to be emotionally over time. I had documented just a bunch of scripture that had to do with what I plan to talk about here, and just went down over that recently and had put some of it in order. And so I got up this morning and just put a few things together there, and we'll share what I believe the Lord has, and trust that you can glean something from it. I certainly don't feel like I'm an authority on this, and but it's things that I had been working through. It was interesting. Brother Josh Prowant Wednesday evening shared a little bit about some of it, and as him, I feel sometimes like it's a little difficult, but trust that the Lord will show us what he has for us. And some of the topic that I plan to share here is on jewelry and makeup, painting of the face and all that. And just wanted to look a little bit at some scriptures about what that talks about in the Word. Over the years, the church has changed so much on so many of these things, on ornaments, jewelry, all that, and along with divorce, along with the head covering, along with all these things that, you know, non-resistance, just a lot of things that we understand and stand on as brothers, and especially in the Anabaptist church. And as I watch through my short life, the things that have changed, the churches, how they changed and how things came to be, it's so different today. And some of the things that we're going to look at here are from the Old Testament, and it was warnings for the Israelites. And I believe some of those same warnings are for us today. And we can't just blindly say it doesn't matter. We have to consider what God is telling us in his Word. It isn't what I think. It isn't what you think. It's what does God's Word say about some of these things? And maybe the issue isn't necessarily just jewelry. The issue is more so, what are we chasing after? Just so many different things that the world has to offer that we find ourselves chasing after. And so has the church, and therefore the church has drastically changed. I'd like to start here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Leviticus 19, 28. If you want to jot some of these verses down and look at them at a later time, feel free to do so. "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." I looked up that word marks. Print any marks upon you. Of course, my first thought come to tattoos. So I looked up the word mark, or marks, and I'm not good at Hebrew pronunciation, but it is kakaha or something similar to that. something Christian in it. But I think we have to be very careful where we go with those things. Exodus 33, 5 and 6. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff few minutes and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read some verses there that talk about things that happened in the Old Testament that we need to be paying attention to today. I know there's many things in the Old Testament, you know, some of the Jewish feasts and the sacrifices and some of those things which we know Jesus came to fulfill and take care of. But there's still some things back there that I think it makes it very clear here in Corinthians that we need to be paying attention to. And that these things happened as examples for us. Not quite sure where to start there. I guess I'll just start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So I think it's clear that we need to be paying attention to some of those things that happened to the Israelites that we should be concerned about. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30. Here we see in this verse how the ornaments and painting were used to go after lovers. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? That though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, and they will seek thy life. Ezekiel 23. I don't know if you remember what that chapter talks about, but it's very explicit, and it's very forward, and it's very clear on how the Israelites chased after the things of other nations and were leaving what God wanted of them. I'm going to start in verse 36. The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholabah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands, and their idols have they committed adultery. With their idols have they committed adultery, and have caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire, to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbath. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus they have done in the midst of mine house. And furthermore, that they have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thine eyes, and deckest thyself with ornaments, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And then 2 Kings chapter 9. And I think if I understand correct, and you're welcome to check any of this out. I would appreciate if you did. And if you found any of it that's not right, please feel free to let me know later on. 2 Kings 9:30, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. I think we're familiar with that and what I was going to say about that. I think that's one of the earliest places where it's documented in the Bible of the using painting the face. And then back to Genesis 35, verses 1 through 4, it appears here as though, as it says in verse 2, that they cleaned themselves up to go to the altar. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and their earrings, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And then on to Isaiah chapter 3. Starting in verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, Because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret paths. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments on the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings, and the rings, and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Looks like things are going to really change. And obviously, things had to be straightened out and will have to be straightened out. Now I'd like to go to the New Testament and read some things there. Most of this we're already familiar with. But if you find yourself saying, Does it really matter what I do? Other Christians are doing it, and supposedly Christians. We don't know who all those other Christians are, but we do know what we've been taught, and we need to be very careful and pay attention to these things. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. I like that verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness. I really appreciate the women here that are professing godliness and are walking in the right way. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. I have a question. When adorning ourselves with makeup and jewelry, in modest dress, what is that? Could that be part of the lust of the flesh? I think maybe it is. Revelation 17, 4 through 5. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. I think much of the ado that is done in ornaments, jewelry, makeup, all of that is not of the Lord and is a chasing after of worldly things and of the flesh, and comes in many times what harlots and prostitutes and ungodly people wear and do. I did want to just briefly speak a little bit about the wedding ring. I'm not aware anywhere in Scripture where the wedding ring is required or even suggested. I understand, and we probably heard different possibilities of where and how the wedding ring came about, and it pretty much all comes from pagan thoughts, pagan ways. The wedding ring, I believe, is a thing of the world, and what I've observed through the years, most divorce happens amongst people that wear a wedding ring, a sign of solidifying marriage. So why would we want to use it? Let our yes be yes and our no, no. I don't think God looks at a wedding ring as a sign of anything except a worldly sign. So let us not go down that road. And if you're questioning it, seek the Lord and what he might have you to do. Because we want to be very careful, or we end up going down the road of the world. Let us be careful not to compare ourselves among ourselves. We don't have to look down the road or wherever it might be at other Christians, at other churches, and say, well, they're doing it. Is that really what decides what we do? Again, maybe the issue of jewelry, maybe that's not the most important issue in the sense of just harping on that. Maybe that's more of a sign of where our heart is. It really comes down to what are we chasing after? What are we seeking after other than the Lord and what he wants? Thank you for your time as we walk through some of those scriptures. And I would encourage you to take time and consider these things. So often, children, young people, as you grow up, the church does certain things, and you don't know why. You just go along with it, and later on in life, you're questioned, and you think, does that really matter? Let us not be like what happened back in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Let us be quick to seek what God really did say in His Word and really seek what He's really meaning and what He really wants from us. I trust that God will show you, and may we stay strong and faithful as a fellowship on these issues. Thank you for your time.